Tonight we are preparing for the peaceable kingdom. And we may, throughout our lives, enter into the spirit of oneness that facilitates the coming of the peaceable kingdom. This is the kingdom where peace reigns and where all are able to feel God's presence continuously. Where peace reigns, everyone experiences this oneness, this love, this joy, this freedom. The etheric retreats in the heaven world manifest this peaceable kingdom, and we are here to help bring them into physicality on earth. These retreats on earth are meant to be oases of calm, equipoise, where meditation is practiced and is easier in the flow field that is created through the peace that is manifest through each individual. All of the issues of duality and division have been resolved, transmuted, eradicated, erased, and the unity field of beingness is manifest that co-creates this peaceable kingdom. First within, because Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you, and then as you manifest it within you, naturally it emanates out to all. Now, there have been various names for this ideal state of beingness on earth as a physical place: Shambhala, Shangri-La, Eden, Utopia, Elysia. All of these are peaceable kingdoms, and yet you can enter deep within yourself to access these sacred places. You can experience utopia inside of yourself rather than seeking it somewhere else, because the kingdom of God is within. We help restore this peaceable kingdom, and we prepare for it every time we meditate in stillness within the great silence and experience deeper and deeper states of this inner peace. If we don't have a meditation practice, are we truly in that state of preparing for the peaceable kingdom? Meditation facilitates peace deep within and all around us. Our aura is charged with this energy of equanimity. Our minds are stilled. Our heartbeat can slow down. We have better health and vitality. All of the effects of both meditation and yoga have been proven by many, even scientifically. And when we practice yoga and meditation, we slow down the carnal mind and we speed up our vibration to be more Christ-like And Jesus was the Prince of Peace, so he still is the Prince of Peace in the peaceable kingdom. God, of course, is the King. Jesus, his Son, as the living Christ, is the Prince. And one of a number of princes. This inner peace that we access and then ooze through our aura sustains the peaceable kingdom where we are. We are an anchor point for it. And when we do our spiritual work, we affect every life stream on earth energetically, positively. And for some of us who are really engaged, prolifically. Meditating with others of like heart and mind expands this domain of peace locally, where we worship and come together in peace, and family by family, community by community, circle by circle, when we do this around the world, we together are building, establishing the larger peaceable kingdom across the world. Kuthumi says, teach children to meditate. And if you don't desire to call it meditation, just call it being still, closing their eyes, practicing silence. These children will greatly accelerate the process of establishing upon earth the peaceable kingdom. Why? Because they have keys beyond what we may have. Because they're fresh from heaven, and they don't have as much baggage when they're young, karma that they've created in this life. And when you teach them at an early age to learn to be still, go within, it's amazing what they will then teach you. There are schools around the world that are teaching children about stillness and silence and meditating, and they do better in class. There's less problems in the schools, and it's a fantastic alchemy. And really, it should be taught in every school, not just private schools, because even in the public schools, it's tremendously helped for the few that allow it. Some parents would probably think it's a spiritual practice, and therefore they don't want their kids engaging in it. All it is just closing your eyes and being still, breathing deeply, and learning to be calm. Now, speaking of learning to be calm, if you have trouble completely quieting your mind, focus on one concept, God, light, or one virtue, love, peace, one image, a rose, a diamond, a pyramid. And if you like to do mantras and engage in mantra yoga, you could also focus on one sound, like Aum or Om or Ah. Draw everything into that focused point of your quiet and deliberate concentration, and stay there and maintain that state of equanimity. If your mind begins to wander, gently bring it back to the point of your focused attention, and don't feel bad that your mind has wandered, because this is pretty common in the Western world. It takes practice. Don't feel bad or blame yourself or feel that you've screwed up. Just refocus your concentration in a gentle way, not forced. I remember recently the masters said that we can be smiling meditators. We don't have a frown on our third eye because we're focusing so hard that we actually are not really in the peaceable kingdom. That's not creating the peaceable kingdom. The peaceable kingdom is created through the largesse of love as we are in the calm state of quietude and the simplicity of beingness, the gentility of the silence. Let go and allow your higher mind permission to take over the process so that you're not trying to do it with your human lower mind. Just allow your higher mind, give permission, authority to your higher mind, who is a great meditator, always in communion with the divine, to do the process, to oversee it, to bless it, to help you to master it. Breathe gently and deeply without making audible sounds. You know, in Livingston in the sanctuary, you know, we've been meditating now, and it's amazing how many times I hear people you know, during the 15-minute silent meditation. Well, that's not silent meditation. So when your breathing is audible to everybody else, realize it's not a soundless state. There's a way that many of us have learned to breathe deeply and gently, and that's by placing your tongue on the top of the inside of your mouth gently and holding it there. And then you have a lot of space in your mouth through which you can breathe, or preferably breathe through your nose. You can breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth if you choose. That's kind of the preferred. In through the nose, out through the mouth, but not making the sound. And just maintain that tongue in the roof of your mouth. And that will naturally facilitate a gentle smile, too. You know, it's not forced, but when you're in the bliss of God, you will begin smiling gently. You can turn your eyes upward. Many learned meditation practices where, in Kriya Yoga, where your eyes actually go up. And I've seen people that are so intense on this that they're, you know, their eyes are kind of fluttering. And I guess that's okay if that's your way. I don't think it has to be forced to the point where you're trying so hard that your eyelids are fluttering. I think that's maybe you're trying too hard. It should just be a gentle thing. You turn your eyes up internally, and you're looking to God. You're focusing on the divine. If you find yourself falling asleep, which I remember when I first started meditating, boy, I fell asleep a lot. And it's like when you first come in the teachings and you're sitting in the front row for a heart stream, everybody's nodding off, you know. Why? Because there's a lot of light released, and the light flushes out our darkness, and unless you reach that same level where the light is, it just kind of knocks you out, right? And you can fall asleep. It's the same with meditation. You have to begin to practice and come into those levels of mastery where you're not just conking out. However, Kuthumi would like us to know also that if you do fall asleep a lot, it's not really a bad thing. Initially, because you may need the sleep. You may have been meditating at a time when you're just tired. You're plum tired, or you're prune tired, you know, or orange tired. And so, you know, don't fret if you're falling asleep. You probably are not meditating maybe at the right time, or you haven't gotten enough sleep at night. So if you're meditating in the morning, you should have gotten a good 6 to 8 hours of sleep, hopefully, and you can stay awake. You shouldn't be falling asleep in the morning after, you know, meditation. If you meditate before you go to bed, you know, you may be tired. And so you may choose to alter the time a little bit. So don't feel bad if you're falling asleep initially. You will, through years of practice, get to the point where this doesn't happen. Even if every once in a while you do fall asleep because you're diligent in your practice, don't feel bad. Just go to bed. Because that's a type of meditation too, right? And sleep. It's just different. So I think Kathumi is very sweet in telling us that, you know, there's no blame in this process. We're not in competition with ourself or with others to become great meditators or to just go to God, you know. We're going to get to God by one way or another. I'm going to get to God by meditating. And, you know, you don't force it. It happens naturally and beautifully. It's just such a beautiful thing. And your meditation time is your time with your higher self, with God inside of you. It should be the most beautiful and harmonious and natural thing that you just love to do because you enter the stillness and it's a great thing. The peaceable kingdom is a domain of heightened divine wakefulness, where the drowsiness of the lesser self is overcome by the blessedness of clarity and the grace of attentiveness. The more you focus on your presence and maintain that state of blessedness and clarity and grace and attentiveness by loving your divine self, which is also inside. I'm going up, but it's up in vibration, but it's really inside. The more you will understand the peaceable kingdom. The peaceable ones are those who are able to sustain peace at all costs. They avoid devolving into the Martian energies of anger, argumentation, agitation, angst, aggravation, all of these things that we learned about in the summit that are all leading to imperil. And we instead consciously choose to utilize the Venusian energies of adoration, appreciation, acceptance, authenticity, amiability, amity, the good A's. You know, there's the good A's where you're really, you know, you're getting the A pluses, and then there's the other A's where you make a blank out of yourself. So let's enjoy our journey in helping Kathumi, helping Jesus as world teachers with Om Ram to co-create on earth the peaceable kingdom by facilitating it in the way that we naturally were born to help it come about, because each of us is different. Some of you are more dynamically active throughout the day, and your joy through your activity is also helping to create the peaceable kingdom. Joy is fantastic, Kathumi says, in bringing about the peaceable kingdom from another angle. And there are other angles from which we do also help to co-create that kingdom. Joy is one of the most magnificent ones because joy brings about the transmutation of sorrow by lifting people up, elevating them, and helping them to just get out of the doldrums. You can't be in the peaceable kingdom if you're depressed. There's no way. So joy really helps to just catapult you into that state of, wow, I feel it now. I feel happy with myself. I'm not condemning myself. I'm not getting down on myself for, you know, blowing it because I ate something with sugar or had 5 cups of coffee today instead of one, you know, whatever. And let's not get down on ourselves. We're doing the best we can, right, spiritually. And each day is an opportunity and a challenge. And the time for condemning ourselves and feeling like we're not good enough is O-V-E-R, right? Over.
Over.
Over. It's over. We can't sustain that peaceful kingdom if we're in the blame game, you know, which drains us. It drains the vitality out of us, the joy out of our lives. And if I have ever said anything to any of you that has drained out that joy in a moment of my unconscious awareness, I ask for your forgiveness. Because I desire the best, the brightest, the most beloved for all of us. And I think you feel the same about other people. I see some of you who I don't think I've ever heard a negative word spoken about another person. You know, Marcos and the host of this entire event. I don't think I've ever heard either of you say anything negative about any person ever in all the years I've known you guys. And there's others of you who could say the same thing. That's the mentality and the consistency of consciousness and divine feeling that's required to allow this peaceful kingdom to be established. Non-judgment, acceptance of everyone for just who they are, loving them for the good and the bad, if we even want to qualify it that way, just to loving them for who they are. And the acceptance and the love and the cherishment of their soul and their spirit is so beautiful and so divine that it's like over that person, an aspect of that kingdom just descends, and it's always in their aura. You can feel the peace in the auras of those who are authentic, and the inner joy is effused through their life, their breathing, their thought process, everything. So, to be authentically peaceable, be who you are. Be natural. Don't try to be something that you aren't, or great in the sense that you're striving so hard that you're creating imperil in that striving. Just be natural. Be yourself. This domain of the peaceable kingdom is the most beautiful domain that you can enter through stillness, through love, and from many angles, from all these different virtues. You can get there through virtually, and, you know, both virtually and really through reality, through any virtue, because all the true virtues lead to the peaceable kingdom. Every virtue leads there. And you can think of any virtue, and when you realize that virtue, yeah, of course, that beautiful virtue that I feel, that God quality, is part of what leads to that peaceable kingdom. So practice the virtues that you're good at already and accelerate them to new levels of attainment and glory. And then try to incorporate the virtues that you're maybe not so masterful of yet into your life so that you will have the full complement of all of these access points to the peaceful kingdom right here throughout your day, throughout your week, and your life. Because, you know, every day is different. We have our astrology, we have our biorhythms, we have our family to deal with sometimes, our children, our parents, our grandchildren, and our grandparents, and our co-workers, and our heart friends, sometimes who challenge us too. And so the access points to the peaceful kingdom can come in ways that you may not even think of right now, but they will be specifically accessible for that day based on your openness to heaven and heaven's gifts and blessings, and they will allow you to cherish the experience, the blessing within the experience, and then the destiny of actually reaching that oasis. You know, you've traveled across the desert and you've found this oasis, and there's water there and there's palm trees and there's time of respite and renewal and recharging. So the peaceable kingdom is like this cosmic oasis from which we then will probably jump off to another star system and start all over and save that one, right? So then we'll have to recreate another peaceable kingdom. And that's life for the light bearers. It's just the way it is. We're on a mission. So thank you, Kuthumi, for this teaching. I really appreciate your amazing wisdom and your love and how you convey these truths to us. And I'm so grateful. Thank you, Kuthumi.